Penguin Random House Canada presents Winnipeg, Visions of Canada from an Indigenous Center by Negan Sinclair. Read for you by the author. For Namiji Nibikwe, may you grow to love this place. Opening words. A territorial acknowledgement. When I joined the Winnipeg Free Press as its city columnist in 2018, there was no official recognition of First Nations at the Manitoba Provincial Legislature. The Manitoba Legislature building and its 120,000 square meters of grounds are located in the downtown core of Winnipeg. It's a stately and impressive building. Allegorical and symbolic images and installations exist everywhere here, in the architecture, plaques, and sculptures, and most notably the infamous Golden Boy, who sits on the very top of the building, representing Manitoba's eternal youth and progress. Over the years, commemorations have been added to officially recognize communities who contributed to the province. The majority recognize British and French contributions, such as the statues of Major General James Wolfe, British commander at the 1759 Battle of the Plains of Abraham, Lord Dufferin, Governor General of Canada from 1872 to 1878, Sir de La Vérendrye, an 18th century French fur trader and explorer, and Thomas Douglas, the 5th Earl of Selkirk, who established a Scottish settlement along the Red River. There are installations honoring a Ukrainian poet, an Icelandic politician, and Sir William S. Stevenson, whose life served as the inspiration for the character of James Bond. There are memorials to Nellie McClung and the suffragette movement, the Holocaust, and Hiroshima. And, of course, there is an honoring of the Red River Métis with a sculpture of Louis Riel, installed in 1996. In all of this recognition, however, nothing acknowledged the First Peoples of this place. In the heart of Manitoba's government, largest city, and Treaty One territory, the place where Canada took its first steps as a country, it was as if First Nations didn't exist. So, on Canada Day 2021, a century after the legislature opened and 151 years after Manitoba became a province, citizens changed the story. In the midst of maple syrupy celebrations in downtown Winnipeg, a group came together to create two monuments at the legislature, ironically out of statues celebrating Canada's colonial past. The first was an editing of the statue of Queen Victoria, the largest statue of all at the legislature, which was remade to commemorate lost residential school children and murdered and missing Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit peoples. The second was a remaking of a statue of Queen Elizabeth II, which was turned into a statement surrounding modern Canadian-Indigenous relations as it was toppled, turned face down, and covered in ropes. These two new installations, at the center of power in Winnipeg and Manitoba, marked a remarkable new moment for this place. Queen Victoria, of course, was an imperialist monarch of the British Empire who reigned during some of its most expansive years, overseeing the founding of Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada, all of which were built on the theft of Indigenous lands. She was head of state during the formative stages of Canadian construction and Confederation in 1867, which placed Indians and Indian lands under federal, legal, and constitutional control. She was the crown during the creation of Treaty One, the first of the numbered treaties Canada used to manipulate and remove First Nations to remote, unsustainable territories. Under the rule and assent of Queen Victoria, Canada also devised one of the most brutal and racist policies in global history, the Indian Act, a set of laws that imposed draconian and microcosmic authority over Indigenous lives. Queen Elizabeth II not only continued her great-great-grandmother's legacies, but helped normalize the idea that Indigenous peoples were inferior to Canadians. She was the constitutional head during some of Canada's worst atrocities against Indigenous communities, with the top of that list being the worst years of the residential school system, which saw the Queen's government cooperate with Christian churches to remove hundreds of thousands of Indian children from their families and communities in an attempt to exterminate, assimilate, and civilize them. Her rule also witnessed the ostracization of Indigenous veterans, the marginalization of Indigenous women and girls, the onset of rampant poverty in Indigenous communities, and the follow-up to the residential school system, the 60s Scoop. Perhaps the worst characteristic of Queen Elizabeth II was her ambivalence to the plight of Indigenous peoples. In 1970, during a tour to celebrate Manitoba's centennial, the Queen visited the North, hearing time and time again from Indigenous communities that she and her monarchy were not fulfilling promises made via treaty. In a speech in The Paw, David Kershane Sr. of the Manitoba Indian Brotherhood told her, "It has been almost 100 years since our forefathers signed treaties with Her Majesty Queen Victoria. It is with sorrow that we note that the promises of peace and harmony, of social advancement and equality of opportunity, have not been realized by our people." In response, the Queen ended her tour with an infamous speech at the legislature that misrepresented what she heard altogether. She said, "I am fully confident that the Indian people will always remain an integral and vital element to the life of the province. The history of Manitoba is one of human endeavor, fed by a burning conviction in all the settlers who have come to this province, that with determination and hard work, they could build a new and better life. Their success can be seen in the fields and farms, in the industries and mines, in the towns and cities, and particularly in their homes. They have laid a sure foundation. It will now depend upon the younger generation to take up the work and make the vision of their parents and grandparents of a peaceful, tolerant, and plentiful land come true for all its people and for many generations." To honor this speech, a statue was created and installed at the Lieutenant Governor's home, Government House, on the grounds of the Manitoba Legislature. So, after a century and a half of honoring nearly everyone but First Nations, and in particular colonial history, the scene was edited. After pulling down Queen Victoria's statue with ropes, citizens covered her with handprints, orange shirts, and signs while hundreds more chanted, "No pride in genocide." At nearby Government House, the statue of Queen Elizabeth was tipped over, placed face down, and covered in ropes. By the end of Canada Day 2021, the Manitoba Legislature had its first monuments commemorating First Nations, created through collective, peaceful, and grassroots-led efforts that didn't cost taxpayers a dime. In many contexts, this would be reason to celebrate. But that isn't what happened. The next morning, pundits across the world decried the anarchy in the streets of Winnipeg. The BBC reported that UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson condemned the defacing of statues of the Queen. Reuters, CNN, and Al Jazeera all led their news shows with the story. More locally, Winnipeg police announced an investigation would be launched to find the protesters and punish their vandalism. Manitoba Premier Brian Pallister promised the courts would be used against these acts of violence. Some First Nations and Métis leaders criticized the action too, while others pointed out that equally important Indigenous marches, ceremonies, and demonstrations on Canada Day didn't get any attention at all. Suddenly, it seemed, all the world and Winnipeg cared about were statues at the Manitoba Legislature. As city columnist for Winnipeg Free Press, I was expected to have an opinion on what happened that Canada Day. I had planned to write about it, but other equally important events were taking place at the time. In fact, other stories took my attention for days. My silence, however, didn't shield me. After years of sharing my opinion on electronic and paper platforms, I have become used to receiving a daily onslaught of vile and angry messages. But the day after Canada Day 2021 was something else. Even though I had not said a thing, I was harassed, barraged with confused and angry messages that simply asked, Why did this happen? One in particular.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?